Okay, what I'd like to do today is to speak about Megillat Esther since it's Adar. So also I want to take a break of giving the other shiurim that, you know, I'm giving on a regular basis here. So the question is, what are we trying to look for in Megillat Esther? There are many ways to understand Megillat Esther, obviously. So we're going to do one aspect of Megillat Esther. What we're trying to really see is the descriptions, right, and also the style in Megillat Esther, right? Number one, what is its intratextuality? What does that mean? Which means when you have Sfarim written, right, that correspond to other Sfarim in Tanakh, right, what is the message that the Megillah is using, similar language or similar themes, right, to other Sfarim in Tanakh? So what is the message, right, from the language that we have in Megillat Esther? Number two, right, Megillat Esther is one of the last Sfarim in Tanakh, and the question is, right, what is the message when you're going through this whole idea of destiny and initiative in Tanakh? For example, right, when you have destiny and initiative in Tanakh, you have themes that already start in Sefer Breishit and carry on throughout all of Tanakh. So let me just give one example before we go to Megillat Esther. Right, in Sefer Breishit, we speak about Yehudah, right, and Yehudah's development, and Yehudah's development really is seen throughout all of Tanakh, right? Lo yasur shevet mi Yehudah, the whole idea of Yehudah and Tamar. And then we're going to see certain themes, right, and ideas that build on that concept. On the one hand, we have Rut and Boaz, right? Meaning you can't become a leader in Am Yisrael, right, unless, right, you have an intervention with a very smart, right, focused woman, right, who's going to set you straight, which we all know, of course, is the way the world works, right? So we have Yehudah and Tamar, we have Rut and Boaz, right? And also what do we have? Right? We have David and Abigail, which means this theme of a leader, right, makes a mistake, right, doesn't really, you know, focus on the right values. And then you have this intervention, a tikkun, right, by this woman who really sets him on the right path. Now, on the one hand, it's a destiny, which means already something written in Sefer Breishit is going to happen throughout Tanakh. Yehudah is chosen as Melech, and we're waiting all of Tanakh, right, in Sfarim to see how Yehudah is going to become Melech. On the other hand, right, how come it doesn't happen right away in Sefer Yoshua? Because you don't get it until you deserve it. So it had to wait until Yehudah, right, produces someone either like a Boaz, who does it part way, right, or like David HaMelech, who is really going to be the Melech in Am Yisrael. So even though there's a certain destiny, you don't get it, right, until you earn it. And we also see this other idea in Tanakh, which is called Tikkunim. What is the idea of tikkun? And again, I'll give an example from Rut. With Rut, we see Rut, right, is a continuation and tikkun for Lot. Right? What's the idea of Lot? Lot joins, right, Abraham. And what happens? At what point, what do they have to do? They have to split, right? And it's fascinating, right, because in the beginning, and again, we're going to be focusing on Megillat Esther, but with Lot, Lot is like the surrogate son of Abraham. Right? He's like the surrogate son, but then they have to split at one point. And what is the whole theme that we have? They can't live yachdav, but who can live yachdav? Right? And who walks together yachdav? It is Abraham with his son Yitzchak, Vayel Chushneim yachdav, that are really going to make that journey together. So when we come to Megillat Rut, right? Orpah, who is from the family of Lot, Rut, who is from the family of Lot, Moav, right? What does Orpah do? Orpah continues the same theme and the same behavior that we have with Lot. What does Lot do at one point? He has to turn away, right? Who has to close this circle, right? The circle has to be closed by Rut, right? Verut Davkaba, instead of Vayel Chushneim Yachtav originally, which we have with Abraham, right, and Yitzchak, right? Rut is the one, Verut Davkaba, and also the language of Rut is almost like the language of Abraham, right? Vatelachna Shtehen, right? When they are walking together, Naomi and Rut. So again, you have this idea that later on, what happens? We have tikkunim in Tanakh. Someone fixes and closes the circle of the legacy, right, that was left open somewhere along the way, right? So we're going to see in Megillat Esther that both Esther and Mordechai are really going to do tikkunim for a lot of earlier generations. And when we start the Megillah, it starts with, we're in Esther Perek Bet, and we're in Pasuk Hey. Ish Yudi Aya B'Shushan Abira, Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ishimini. Right? Ish Yudi Aya B'Shushan Abira. Number one, really, what Shevet is Mordechai from? He's really from Shevet Binyamin. So why do we call him Yehudi? So, oh, maybe his mother is from Yehuda. Oh, we called all Jews then Yehuda, because very few Shvatim were left. But also, it's very poignant, right? What is his background? Yair Shim'i Kish, from the family of Yemini. Who is the most famous person from this lineage? Shaul HaMelech. Okay, Shaul HaMelech is written out of the beginning of Megillat Esther, which means it's almost like that idea written out of history. Which means Shaul is written out of history in a sense. Why? Because he doesn't destroy Amalek when he's supposed to, right? He also brings the Korban early, and he does not fulfill his destiny as first Melech in Am Yisrael. When he was chosen, he wasn't chosen, oh, and he's going to trip up, and we know Yehuda gets it, and he's destined to fail. Absolutely not. When Shaul is chosen, he has the ability to be successful. Why? Because no one from Yehuda steps up. Maybe Bnei Yisrael asked for a Melech too early. And what we see here, right, is this idea that it doesn't matter what your yichus is, you can really make your future. And if Hashem chooses you, despite what everything says earlier, you can really continue. So much so that in the pasuk Lo Yasur Shevet Miyuda, what does the Ramban say? If it's Lo Yasur Shevet Miyuda, how'd you pick Shaul first? How do you pick Shevet Binyamin? So Ramban says that if Shaul would have been worthy, you would have had all of Am Yisrael with Shaul and maybe one Shevet with Yehuda. Or you would have had one Shevet with Binyamin and all of the other Shvatim with Yehuda. But once you're chosen, you keep that destiny. Right? Once you're set, right, we keep it for all generations. And we're going to see that in a second. So the fact that Shaul is written out from the identification of the Yichus of Mordechai, right, what is that telling us? In a sense, Shaul was written out of history. And who wrote him out? He himself, right, unwrote himself from history. And we're going to see that Megillat Esther is written piece by piece to redeem, right, to redeem all the actions, right, that Shaul did not do properly, and to bring back Malchut in a certain way to the family of Binyamin, to Shaul's family. And we're going to see that, what do we constantly call Esther as time goes on? Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka. She is going to be, right, the new kingship, in a sense, right, for Bet Shaul. So we're going to see that process. And what we're going to see in the Megillah, that it's written very, very carefully with an eye, right, to everything that happens earlier with Bet Shaul. And there are many other things, but this is what we're focusing on today, because otherwise we should spend the whole semester together, right, and do Megillat Esther, but, right, we're definitely going to at least develop this theme today. So let's see what the Gemara says. So what is the Gemara saying about this idea? Look at number two, right? We're in Masechet Megillah, Daf Yudbet Amudbet. Delokatle David Leshimi, right? How come we're saying Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abirah? So the Midrash already wants to make this connection that goes back spanning into history. Meaning the Midrash wants to say everything that happens in Tanakh refers what? To something that happened earlier, right? Delokatle David Leshimi. You all remember the story of Shimi Ben Gera. What does Shimi Ben Gera do? He curses David when he has to run away from whom? From Avshalom, right? He curses David when he runs away from Avshalom. And what should have David done to Shimi? He should have killed him, right? But he doesn't kill him. He leaves that for Shlomo later on. But because he leaves Shimi alive, what does Shimi have? Children, right? And who do we know? We look at the line. Who is Mordechai from? He is from Shimi ben Gera, right? Deityalid mine Mordechai. Who was born from Shimi ben Gera? Mordechai demikne behaman. So what did Shimi do? Shimi had a child, Mordechai, generations. And what did Mordechai do? He destroys Haman. So what is it trying to show? It's trying to show themes in history. What happens earlier on in Tanakh always has reverberations later on. Let's go on. Umashilem liyamini, but what did I get paid back by Binyamin, Yamini? Delokatle Shaul lahagag, which means the Midrash already wants to say, right, what is the legacy of Shaul? He doesn't destroy Agag. Right? And as a result, right, that's a problem for Am Yisrael. The Itialid Minei Haman. Who comes from Agag? Haman. And what do we call, again, the reference totally in Megillat Esther, what are we constantly calling Haman? Ha'agagi. Ha'agagi. Right? To make that reference. Right? The Mitzar Li Yisrael. And that's why Shaul is written out from the Yichus on top. Because what is the legacy we have of Shaul? That he leaves, right? That he leaves Agag, who then had Haman, who almost destroys Am Yisrael. So we already see that the Midrash is very sensitive to this idea of arcs, right, that we have in the narrative of Tanakh. Let's go on, number three. When we discuss Mordechai, what do we want to say about him? Asher hogla Yerushalayim im hagola asher hoglata im Yochanya melech Yehuda asher hogla Nebuchadnezzar melech Babel. What does the Megillah want to focus on about Mordechai? What is he? He's in Galut. Four times, right, we say this word in this Pasuk, right? The Milah Mancha of this Pasuk is the idea of Galut. And usually what does Galut symbolize? Helplessness. Which means Mordechai is in Galut. He is now helpless, right? He's under the control, right, of the other nations. So is Mordechai going to be able to act under this oppressive regime, under this circumstance? Which means here you have individuals outside of their homeland, right, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Are they going to be able to act, right, and be empowered, right, in that situation? And what we're going to see throughout the entire Sefer, what is the Sefer about? Also about empowerment. About the idea, here they start galut, 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 right? And we're going to see, can you get out of that? And this is not just a national galut, this is also the idea of personal galut. Which means when you are crushed down and you have issues in your family, right? And you constantly have this oppression, right? Can you get out of it, right? What is Mordechai? He represents Shaul. Does Shaul have a good rep or a bad rep at this point in Tanakh? Bad. He doesn't destroy Amalek. He's the one who lost the Malchut, right? You had it in your hands, right? And you let it go. And not only that, the next pasuk is already telling us what is the attitude of Mordechai. Vayehi omenet Hadassah hi Esther batodo. What is he? He's the one who nurtures Hadassah, who's Esther, right, batodo, because she doesn't have a father and a mother. Which means, so who becomes her father and her mother? Right, Mordechai. And what is the whole symbol of parenting here? Empowerment. Which means he takes responsibility for her, right? And he is going to really educate her. But vayehi omenet Hadassah hi Esther, right? Usually in Tanakh, how many names do you get? Usually one, right? Very rarely do we have in the same pasuk that you have two names. But here, it's not just, oh, right, I'm Beryl and I'm Bernard, right? It's Hadassah and Esther, which means is one really a translation of the other or just two different names? Is it just, oh, you know, I have one name on my passport, right? And one name, you know, that I'm using colloquially. So the idea here...
Well, in her case, it's particularly relevant because she has a different identity in public to the king, and what she really is a Jew. I mean, it's for her, having a second name is very shayach, because she has a whole different persona, and a whole different external, to the king, what she really is to Mordechai, and what she is to the king, and how she has to act.
Right, but what's so interesting? Meaning, when do we learn about her two names?
Before.
So what is it anticipating for us?
It's a foreshadowing.
It's foreshadowing. And what is it foreshadowing about what's going on in the community there? They have a double nature. They have a double identity. They're not sure who they are. They don't know what side they want to present, right? That inner Jewish side, Hadassah, or that, you know, my name is Ishtar, which is, a Persian goddess, right? So that is a very important element here, which means already by the get-go, we see they live this double life. And don't think that the fact that we wear costumes and we have our inner and outer message on Purim is not connected to this. It's very strongly connected to this. Which means who you are, what are you showing to the outside, what are you really, right, on the inside. Purim is very much, right, a struggle for identity, for how are you going to identify yourself, what are you going to become, who are you going to be. Let's look at the Gemara for a second, right, we're in number four, right, and again, the Gemara continues, Krele Hadassah, Krele Esther. Already the Gemara is talking about, what do you mean we're calling her Hadassah, we're calling her Esther? So we have so many different views. What does Rabbi Meir say? Really, her name is Esther. So why do we also call her Hadassah? It's symbolic, because she's like a tzaddiket. Okay. What's the other view why she's called Esther? Right? That she's masteret dvareh. She's hiding her words. So this is also very interesting. Which means, why do we have this name of this girl, right, that she has to hide her words? Why can't she be, right, who she wants to be? And we know that very interestingly. For the first prakim in Esther, what is Esther? Is she passive or is she active? Totally passive, right? Well, see, every word that's used about Esther, she is passive, passive, passive. Everyone is doing things to her almost like an object. And again, we know that's very important. Again, that would be a different shiur on Esther. But what do we know about the whole issue with Vashti? Right? That was the big problem. And not only that, right? What do you have to tell the men? Ooh, she nu lekar levaleihem. The women are told you have to respect your husbands. In a society that you have to force the women to do that, what does that say about the society? that real respect is not there. So you have that disconnect that's going on in the Gilad Esther, that inner and outer, which means there's two different realities that are going on here that we represent by her name. Let's go on in the Gemara. Another view. Oh, Esther, look Aruka, look Tzara. She's middle, right? She's average, which means not only is she average, right? What does the other view say? Yehoshua ben Karcha says, Esther Yirakroket, which means, what is so interesting about all these different views about Esther? What can't we agree on? Who she is or what she is? She's really unknowable. In the beginning, Esther is unknowable, and then we see how she develops. And that's also a representation of two different Nashim in Tanakh. There are some, the get-go, right, the first time you meet them, they are somebody. Miriam, boom, she opens her mouth right away. You know who she is. Devorah, you meet her right away. You know who she is, what she's going to do. Chana, it takes a while for Chana to really develop, and then she really develops. We're going to see with Esther, it's the same thing, which means she's really unknowable in the beginning, and the question is, where is she going to do? Where is she going to go? What is going to be her identity, right? Is she average or is she unusual, right? And that's why Esther is such a great character, because really, it's her choices, right, and what's going on around her that she first surveys and then decides how she's going to step up to the plate, meaning what is going to be her contribution to Am Yisrael. Let's go on. But she's not in a vacuum. Let's go on in the Gemara. Bizchar tzniyut shaita ba b'rachel zachta v'yatza mimena sha'ul. What does the Gemara here want to say? Ah, we also have an ark. And what's the ark? We have the ark of Rachel. Rachel is tznua, right? Why is she tznua? Because she hides and gives the simanim to her sister, right? That's why Shaul comes from her. What do we know about Shaul? Why is he tzanua? Nechba ala kelim is the idea of Shaul. And again, we'll just use that as our example, right? Ubizchar tzniut shayabo v'shaul zacha v'yatza mimenu Esther. Which means, again, what do we want to show? That things that happen early on in Tanakh, there are certain themes and families that run through. So we have all the way from Rachel to Shaul, and we're going all the way to Esther. Pretty much, what are we canvassing? The entire Tanakh from A to Z. But this is a theme, right, that really transfers right through the entire line of what's going on. But let's go to the last line in number 5, right? We're in, again, continuing in the Gemara. Va'amar Rabbi Elazar, right? Kshakodesh Baruch Hu posek gdula la'adam, posek levanav v'livnei vanav ad sof kol adorot. Which means when someone is chosen for greatness, as we said earlier, right, he has the greatness and he also has the potential for all generations. Which means, again, what is this Sefer about? This is Sefer about the lost Malchut of Shaul and how we're going to recapture it. And how can we can recapture it? Because what is the view? If you get it originally, even if you lose it for a while, what can you always do? You can always get it back. You can always recapture it. So Shaul's choice as Melech will always have, right, a certain kind of koach and future for it. We see this many times in Tanakh, but another good example is what happens in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. What house takes the kahuna? Beit Eli gets the kahuna, which is from Itamar and not from Elazar. But what happens already by the beginning of Sefer Melachim? Who recaptures the kahuna? It's Beit Elazar. And again, we see this phrase used there, which means even though, right, Elazar lost it for a while and it went to Beit Eli, when Beit Eli lost it, where does it go back? It goes back to the house of Elazar, which means if you were tagged for greatness at one point, it could be generations back, right, you always have that ability. When there are certain things that go on in the past, somehow, right, you're reacting to it. Not so much because of the DNA, it's in your genes. But what are we all part of? We're all part of this big history. We're all part of this family. So you're always looking back to your past, right, in order to make choices for the future. So let's go on. We're in number 6. So let's go back to the pshat, which we're going to do a lot of, right? When, right, Ahasuerus is going to start choosing women, right, what's the language that it uses about Esther? This is classic and we know it, but we still have to see the words because it's very important to us, right? What does it say? What's the language, right? How was she used? Number one, batilakach Esther, passive, right? Look at pasuk tet, batitava nara be'inav, batisa chesed lefanav. How do we evaluate Esther? What's batisa chesed lefanav? How do we evaluate her? By how?
He likes her.
How other people view her. So it's not just people are doing things for her. to her. We're totally evaluating her by how other people value her. Not only that, let's go on. Pasuk Yud, Lo higida et ama ve'et moladeta, ki Mordechai tziva alea asher lo tagid. Who's pulling the strings? Who's calling all the shots? Mordechai. And the language is very strong. She doesn't say anything, not her name, sorry, not her nation, not where she's born, because Mordechai told her not to tell. What do we know is the first thing that we're so proud of Avraham and everybody else around? And Yonah, when he's in the ship, finally, not first, second, right? But what doesn't he want to admit, right? He doesn't want to admit right in the beginning of it, his nation. But what do we usually expect about people from Am Yisrael? And what does Yosef say the minute he meets Paro? Ivri Anochi, which means the way you identify yourself is very important. So the fact that Esther's not identifying herself and Mordechai's telling her not to, it's not that, oh, that's the narrative of Am Yisrael. You know, we're always embarrassed and we're always galus Jews. But here, what is it? It's a kind of galut story. We're afraid to identify who we are, right? It's almost back to Sefer Shoftim. L'hanis mait mipnei Midian. Even in our own country, what were we afraid of? Right? To do anything in public because we're afraid of the Midianim, we're afraid of the Moabim, we're afraid of the Canaanim. So here, he's telling her, right, you have to hide your identity. You can't say anything about it, meaning you can't be who you are. Right? That's what he's pretty much telling her. Pasuk Yeralf. And every day, what does Mordechai do? He's walking in front of the Chatzar Beit Hanashim, Ladat et Shlom Esther, and what are those last three words? Uma ye'aseba. What are people going to do to her, with her? Which means everything in the language is not just, oh, you know, she's passive. It's as passive as you can get, and the language is like an active, hostile, right? Passivity, almost like passive-aggressive, right? In the way this is being described. And again, Pasuk Tetzayin, when she's taken to the king, how do we describe her? Vatilakach Esther. So everything about this, right, has this language. So we already see Mordechai, right, takes a different role for himself, right? In the intervening, a little later, what is Mordechai going to do? He's going to step up. He's going to show that he's a Yehudi. He's not going to bow down to Haman. So we see that Esther and Mordechai are complete opposites. He's telling her, be quiet, be passive, don't say anything, and I'm going to do the upfront Yehuda, stand up, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, right? I'm going to take that role. When they find out, as a result of Mordechai stepping up, right, that Haman's angry and he wants to destroy Am Yisrael, we're going to number 7. Right, v'nishloach svarim b'yad haratzim el kol medinot hamelech. What does it say about them? Lehashmid, laharog, ula'abed et kol ha'yudim minar v'ad zaken taf v'nashim b'yom echad. Where else do we have that language? Clearly with Amalek. What is Shaul told, right, to do to Amalek? Go down to number 9. Right? What are you supposed to do to Amalek? Atalech v'kitat Amalek v'echaramtem et kol asher lo v'lo tachmol alav v'hemata mi'ish v'adisha me'olel v'adyonek mishor v'adse migamal ad chamor. It's almost as if, right? We're going to have to go back, but yeah, we're going to the next page. Right? It's almost as if what? It's almost as if Haman wants to do this to Am Yisrael because Bnei Yisrael wanted to do it to Amalek, which means this is payback, midah keneged midah, and the language is so similar. And yet, what is different here? Right? What is different here? Look back to number 7. Look back to number 7, right? What are Medinot HaMelech going to do to the booty of Am Yisrael? Ushlalam lavoz, which means with Haman, what do they want? They want the shalal. Ushlalam lavoz. What was the rule with Shaul? Right, v'heramtem et kol asher lo. And we all know, though, what didn't Shaul do? Right, we all know, right, that he took from the biza, and that was one of the biggest problems that he had. But look back at number 8. Right, look back at number 8. When you look in Perek Lamed Vav, right, we're in Breshit. Right, everyone have it? Number 8, we're back on page 1 for you. Right, when you look in Breshit, what do you see? Ki ayaruchusham rav mishevet yachdav. Who couldn't sit together because they had a lot of possessions? We know it's Lot and Avraham, but who is this about? Who is this about? Right? This is about Esav, right? Which means Esav and Yaakov couldn't stay together, and also Esav among his own type couldn't stay together, which means we all know, where does Amalek come from? Right, look at the last line. V'timna ita pilegesh le'elifaz, ben esav v'teled le'elifaz et Amalek. So Amalek goes all the way back to Esav, right? And what is the symbol of Esav? Al Harbacha Tichyeh. And here it also says, Ki Aya Rechusham Rav, right? Which means the booty, the money, the materialism, right? Is also very important to Esav, Amalek, Haman, Agag. Or Agag, Haman.
It's like the worst of Esav.
Absolutely. Exactly. Right? Okay. What was, just to stick in a little, right, what was Shaul's issue here, right? What was Shaul's issue? Does he kill everybody? No, because what does he have? He has moral and ethical issues with it. And we can all understand the whole idea of destroying Amalek is a very difficult moral and ethical issue. But if Shaul had issues with the idea of destroying Amalek, then who should he have gone to?
Save the kids and the women.
Absolutely. Don't, right? Not the king, and don't take the money, right? Which means if you really are worried from a moral and ethical point of view, that's not what you do, right? And also, who'd you have around to ask a question if you wanted to? Ask Shaul. I mean, do you really want me to do this? Right? Shmuel. Shaul should have asked Shmuel, right? So, you're all listening. That's so good. So let's look at number 11, right? So what is going on? We see, oh, even though Vayirev Banachal, he has all these, you know, worries, right? What does he do? Vayitposet Agag Melech Amalek Chai. We all know, right? He keeps Agag Melech Amalek Chai. And then Kol Ha'am Ichrim Lefi Charev, which means he destroys all the people, but he saves Agag, right? And not only that, look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, right? And Shmuel feels terrible about this. Vayizak El Hashem Kol Ha'layla. He cries out to Hashem the entire night. Because what is Shaul to Shmuel? You know? He is his Talmud Mavak. Do you know what I'm saying? He anoints later on David, but he's not around to educate him. But really, pretty much, Shmuel almost held Shaul's hand or tried to advise him, right, every step of the way. So it's not like he's feeling, aha, Shaul failed. He feels terrible, right? He's crying out to Hashem the entire night. Because what does Shmuel also feel about this? But it's also a failure for himself, right? As a mentor here, right? And Pasuk Yutet, so what does he ask? V'lama lo shamata b'kol Hashem v'tat el ha-shalal, which means it's, you left Agag Melech Amalek alive, terrible. You killed all the women and children, terrible. And also, what did you go for? V'tat el ha-shalal. You went, right, for the booty, which means it just really finishes the whole cycle of Shaul's, right, focus, right, on the physicality and totally missing, right, Dvar Hashem. So let's go back to number 12. We're going back to Esther, right? We're in Esther Perek Dalet, right? And what happens in Pasuk Aleph? U'mordechai adat kol asher nasa, v'yikra mordechai et begada, v'yilbash sak v'efer, v'yitze betoch ha'ir, v'yizak za'aka gdola umara. Now, look at number 13. Many times when we talk about Vayizak Zaka Gdola Umara, of course, who do we identify it with? Look at number 13. Esav, right? We always identify it with Esav, which we should, which means Yaakov took the bracha from Esav in a way which was not 100%. And what do we know always in Tanakh? Right? There's always Midah Keneged Midah. When you do something, there's always going to be echoes and reverberations later on, and somehow it all has to even out, right? So on the one hand, right, you took the bracha from Esav, you should have taken the bracha, but maybe not in this way, so the method you took it, there are going to be reactions. And when does a reaction happen? All the way later, right, when we have Mordechai, right, Zo'ek Zaka Gdola Umara. But I also want to refer back. Who else was crying out Zaka Gdola Umara, right, when Amalek was not defeated? Shmuel. Which means Mordechai also, right, is Zo'ek Zaka Gdola Umara, not just because of Esav all the way back in Bereshit, but also the language is to remind us of Shaul and Amalek, right? Not finishing this destiny. So number one, we have with Esav, but we also have it with Shmuel. Let's go on, right? And what happens? There's Evel Gadol v'tzom u'bechi u'misped, Sak va'efer yutzal rabim, right? Look at this. Originally, what do we say about Mordechai? Right? Even though he's in Galut, he takes Esther and Hadassah, he adopts her, right? And he builds a life. What is fascinating here? When this comes up, what is Mordechai's response? What is Mordechai's response? Look at the language. There's Evel, there's Tzom, Bechi, Umisped, Sak va'efer yutzal rabim. What language is this?
Avelut. This is not only the language of tefillah. This is the language of avelut, which means, and when you are an avelut, what is your attitude? Right? This is the end. Which means when Mordechai is doing this, of course, right, there's also an aspect of tefillah, but the language in the Megillah is emphasizing what part? This is the end. This is avelut. Just like Lahavdil, right? When we look in the beginning of Sefer, not beginning, the middle of Sefer Breshit, right, when Hagar is crying over what's happening to Ishmael, what is she really thinking? She says, Alare b'mot hayeled. She's already giving up. She's crying tears of avelut, in a sense, right? Of giving up, of desperation, of despair. What do we see here as well? What do we see with Mordechai? Also, he's feeling, oh my gosh, what did I do? I stepped up. I wanted to show that I'm not bowing down to Haman. And what was the result? Possible terrible destruction to Am Yisrael. I brought this about, right? So what is going to be the solution? Does Mordechai feel powerless, right? Or is he going to try to find a solution?
I don't think that Mordechai thinks it's the end. He says to Esther later, you know, you don't step up, Hashem's going to save us. You know, Rebbe Pasala.
Right, what?
But you know, he didn't go to Esther. He waited for Esther to come to him. In other words, he sat Shiva. And he didn't call Esther. He could have approached Esther.
No, he will approach Esther.
No, she approaches him. When she says to him, put on the clothes, he doesn't go and contact her and say, hey, can you help us out? We're in trouble in the kingdom. He waits till she comes to him and says, put your clothes on. And then he says, I can't. And then he says that comment.
Well, we're going to see.
He moves to pass it, no?
Okay, let's see. We have the sukkim for us, so we're going to see. But this is our question, which means, is the fact that he is in this avelut mode and he doesn't try to do something on his own? Or is he planning all the time that he had Esther in the palace, right? Or is he feeling right now this kind of despair, right? And the question is he going to be able to turn it around, or what are we going to see? Meaning, who does he need to turn it around? He's going to need Esther to turn it around, which means for Mordechai himself, he feels he's at the end of the rope of the things that he can actively do. And who is he going to ask now to fix it? Esther. So even though he doesn't think this is the end of the Jewish people, but he definitely feels, oh my gosh, I brought us into this mess, and he doesn't feel, okay, I could try to do something to change it. Who is he going to have to turn to? He's going to have to turn to Esther. And that's where we're going to see a big difference. Because all this time, what is he saying? Right? Don't say anything, be passive, right? Let me take care of it. And we're going to see this change. So, of course, it's not that they're actually sitting Shiva, but definitely this feeling. I mean, we have so many descriptions here. Tsom, bechi, umisped, sakva, efer, yutzala, rabim. And what does it say? Evel gadol, which means definitely there's a very strong linguistic connection here with this idea of avelut. And we don't have the next pasuk turning it around, just like we had hogla, 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 hogla. And what's the next pasuk? He adopts Esther, and he already, you know, is looking to the future, right, to build some kind, you know, of, let's say, legacy that we have going forward. So, you're right, we're not saying this is totally the end. He thinks Am Yisrael is going to be destroyed, but definitely he's feeling at the end of where he can be constructive here. Now, let's go on, right? Let's go on. I want to go now to number 16, okay? Because I want to keep this theme alive, right? So what happens when they gave out this decree, right, to continue this idea? What does it say? He shows it to Esther, and what does he think? Ulahagidla, ulitzavot alea, lavol hamelech, right? So he said, okay, my approach didn't work, so what's going to happen? I'm telling you, right, I'm commanding you to come to the melech and beg him, and please ask for your nation, right? What's so interesting here, right? It's not that Mordechai is passive and doesn't do anything, but who does he ask now to solve the problem? It's going to be Esther, right? And how does she have to do it? She has to beg the king, right? So what would you expect the next pasuk to be? Absolutely, right? I'm getting my dress on, right? And I'm going tomorrow to ask the king, right? So what does she answer? Well, of course you know that anyone who goes to the king, right, and he doesn't put out his sharvit, of course, you know, I'm not going to survive that, and I wasn't called for 30 days. So what does Mordechai tell Esther then? Vayomar Mordechai lahashiv el Esther. Al tedavi benafshech limalet bet hamelech mikol hayehudim. Don't think, right, that you can hide where? Beit HaMelech Mikol HaYehudim. Who else? Right, and I have the pasuk here, so pretty much obvious, but so good, right? Who else was hiding in the palace and separating herself from all of Am Yisrael? Michal, right? When David is bringing the Aron Brit Hashem, right? When David is bringing the Aron Brit Hashem, right? What is her attitude? She's looking through the window, right? And she says, oh, Manaeh, meaning I'm not going to dance with all of Am Yisrael. You're like dancing with the regular people? We don't do that in Ben Shaul, right? We have a certain tzniut, we have a certain behavior, right? We don't do that. Which means, what is Mordechai telling? And again, we said, things written in Megillat Esther all reflect back to other places in Tanakh. Which means, what is he telling her? Don't think you could be like Michal, separating yourself from Am Yisrael. You have to step up, right? And you have to be part of Am Yisrael in order to really make sure, right, that Am Yisrael are going to be successful. Because what does she say? Vateret HaMelech David mefazez umecharker lifnei Hashem. Vatibez lo beliba. What?
She gets punished for that behavior.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Everything you do, you get punished for no matter what, right? 18, you can never get away. You're Dalid, right? So what does he tell her? He says, oh, ki im ha-charesh ta-charishi ba'et hazot. Hello? Im ha-charesh ta-charishi ba'et hazot. Who was Vayhi kemacharish? Shaul HaMelech, right? When is Shaul HaMelech macharish? When everyone is not happy that he's melech, Vayhi kemacharish. Look at all the references we have here. Im ha-charesh ta-charishi ba'et hazot. You can't be quiet now. You can't act like Shaul HaMelech. Oh, I'm not really listening to the people, whether good or bad. Right, criticizing, right? Ba'et hazot, revach v'hatzala yamod la'yudim mimakom acher. B'nai Yisrael are going to be saved from somewhere else, which means I believe that B'nai Yisrael are going to be saved, right? But maybe, right, this is your chance. Va'at u'bet avich tovedu. And what's going to happen to you, u'bet avich? Who finally is coming into the picture here? We're starting to mention Shaul, right, surreptitiously. Right? Who knows, right? But now you and your father's family are going to be destroyed forever. This is the chance to write Shaul back in history. This is the chance to write Shevet Binyamin back in history. And usually, who do we expect to write people back? The males in the family. But we always see it's the women. We see with Bnot Slovchad, who writes Shevet Menashe back into history? It's Bnot Slovchad. Right? Who writes Shevet Levi back into history? It's Miriam. It's Miriam and Yocheved when they take that chance. Right? And they have Moshe, and they save Moshe. Because what do we know in the end of Sefer Breshit? What do we have the legacy of Shevet Levi? Right? They do not get a bracha. Right? They get, right, a tochacha from Yaakov. Right? Who writes Shevet Yehuda back into history? It's going to be Tamar. Right? Who writes Shevet Yehuda again back into history? Right? It's going to be Ruth. Who's going to write Shevet Binyamin and Bet Shaul back into history? It's going to be Esther. And we're going to see how she's going to do it. He says, "Umi odea im laet kazot higat la malchut." Right? Why is he using that language? He just said, "Oh, don't hide in the palace." So he could have used the same language. Oh, who knows if you got to the palace for this reason? But what word is used here? La malchut, which means this is your chance, right, to redeem malchut bet Shaul. And what is her answer? Vatomer Esther lahashiv et Mordechai. Okay, she's giving the commands now. Lech knos et kol ha-yudim, right? Get everyone together. Vitzumu alai va'al tochlu va'al tishtu shloshet yamim. Right? The language that she's using is very different than what? Than what Mordechai did. What is the description with Mordechai? Evel, misped, bechi. She says, right? What should you do? Tzumu alai, va'al tochlu va'al tishtu shloshet yamim. What was Shaul's big mistake? What was Shaul's big mistake that he had when it comes to food and other things? When they're fighting, right, Perek Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, what does Shaul say to the whole nation? You can't eat. And who eats with its kseh amateh? 5 minutes, okay. Who eats with its kseh amateh? Right, it's Yonatan, right? So what was Shaul's problem? He doesn't know how to deal with food the right way. So what is Esther showing? I know how to deal with food the right way. The Tzom is going to be focused to make sure to get all of Bnei Israel unified, and we're going to try to solve this problem. And she says, the kasher avadati avadati. What was Shaul's problem as well? What didn't he ever want to take? Responsibility for the actions that he does. And what does she say? Kasher avadati avadati. I'm willing to take the consequences. So we already see who's turning the tide and who is really becoming the spokesperson and the tikkun for Shaul. We see it's Esther. And what is, right, and what is so fascinating here? Balaila hu nadadashnat hamelech, right? A Ahasuerus can't sleep. What is Esther's plan? Esther just invites Ahasuerus and Haman to this party. Why does she just invite Ahasuerus and Haman? Midrash says something beautiful. Pachin tamnalo. She wants to trip up Haman. Right? How does she trip up Haman? When Haman sees only me and Ahasuerus are going to this party, what does she think? What does he think? Ugh. She wants me to be king, or very, very important. And when Ahasuerus can't sleep, who's hanging around in the yard? Haman. What's Haman doing in his courtyard in the middle of the night? Oh, Esther and Haman, right, are the only ones invited to the party with Ahasuerus, right? She wants to trip up Haman. And what does Haman suggest, right, when Ahasuerus can't sleep and you want to pick someone who's special? Haman says, I want to ride on the horse, I want to wear the crown, and I want to wear the clothes of the king. Which means, what was the big problem for Shaul? When Shaul knew that he wasn't going to get the melucha, continue the melucha, he was so jealous that it really clouded his thinking, right? And what does Esther know more than anyone else, right? That Shaul lost the melucha forever and is for son Yonatan? Because he was blindly jealous, right, of David. So she knows the power of jealousy. So she also has another agenda. What did Mordechai tell her to do? Throw yourself down at Ahasuerus' feet and beg for Am Yisrael. So what would you expect Esther to do? Do that, right? No, because who does she want to destroy first and foremost? Because she wants to even out the tab. She wants to destroy Haman. Because who is Haman? Ha'agagi. Who left Haman alive? Shaul. Which means she's not just interested to save all of Am Yisrael. She wants to make sure she destroys Haman. Because at the party, when she says Haman is doing this, right? Oh my gosh, what is Ahasuerus only focused on? Destroying Haman. Because if she was going down and bow down and throw herself at his feet and say, save Am Yisrael, what would Ahasuerus say? Okay, I'll give you the decree. You know, when they attack, you could defend yourself. But who will, of course, be left? Haman, right? And the minute Ahasuerus gets rid of Haman, v'chamat ha-melech shachacha, he's okay with that because he just cares about this personal thing. Which means Esther was so bright in understanding, right, that she wants to make sure not only saving the Jewish people, but to really save the legacy of Shaul. And saving the legacy of Shaul is undoing the fact that Shaul left Amalek and left Agag. And not only that, if you look at the language, right, when Haman gives the decree, right, Ushlalam Lavoz, when Bnei Israel get the decree, it also says Ushlalam Lavoz, but we all know, what does it say in the Megillah? Ubabiza lo shalchu et yadam, which means this is a religious war as well, which means we want to show that we're not like Amalek, we're not like Esav, right? We're not going to take the biza. And if you look at the language, even though they're allowed to kill the women and children and take everyone down, it says they killed shlosh me'ot ish. They're really doing a defensive war, only attacking the people who defended them. This is not about revenge. This is not about destroying, right, the entire enemy. And that's why, right, in the end, what does it say? We're all the way on page 4. I'm staying to my 5 minutes, right? All the way on page 4. What do we see in Pasuk Kaftet? Perek Tet, Pasuk Kaftet, number 24. Vatichtov Esther Hamalka Bat Avichayil Umordechai HaYehudi Et Kol Tokef L'Kayem Et Igeret HaPurim Azot Shenit. Now, we don't write necessarily Shaul's name per se, but what do we have here? We have Esther Zichus, we have Mordechai, which means they are now Mishne LaMelech, and she is Esther HaMalka. It's on her word that what happens? On her word, what happens? Purim becomes a chag. And we all know that we say Mordechai's name 3 times out loud. So what would you expect this sefer to be called? Megillat Mordechai. Because usually in Tanakh, the beginning, middle, and end, who is the main protagonist? That's what we call the sefer about. But just like we don't call it Megillat Naomi, Naomi is the beginning, the middle, and the end as well, right? We call it Megillat Rut. Because here, in Megillat Esther and in Megillat Rut, who's the catalyst? Rut there, and here it's definitely Esther. It is Megillat Esther. She is the one, right, who brings the Yeshua, right, to Am Yisrael. So what we see here is that what does she do in the end? Look at the language. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shalcha lahen Esther l'chachamim, Kva'uni l'dorot. Set me forever. And what was Esther able to do? To set the story of Esther and Mordechai l'dorot, which means this is the legacy for Am Yisrael. Who do they put back on the charts? Who do they get back, right, on the upstanding level of Am Yisrael? Shevet Binyamin and Bet Shaul. And Mordechai and Esther, right, are like the last hero and heroines that we have of Am Yisrael. And they took this situation of powerlessness and made it into a situation, right, of success versus the enemies of Am Yisrael. And we definitely see, right, how Esther develops and the beauty of the language that it wants to identify, right, with all the things that happened earlier in order to show, right, that this is a culmination of all those issues. And as the, we saw earlier, right, what is Shaul doing? What is Shmuel upset with him about? Yan lo shamata l'kol Hashem. What is the theme here? Kimu v'kiblu hayudim alehem. The idea that their halachot, their instinct, their idea of Mesorah and Torah Shebaal Peh, right, and the idea of this keeping for generation is something that Mordechai and Esther were able to do l'dorot. So this idea of keeping the legacy for future generations is the beauty of what's going on. Midrash, Kva'uni l'dorot and Batichtov Esther. She really is the one who sets the tone, right, for this transformation, and then we see the redemption of all Bet Sha'ul. Thank you.